Welcome to the Jonathan Shuttlesworth podcast. To stay connected, go to revivaltoday.com. And now, here is Evangelist Jonathan.
I want you, if you have your Bibles, open them with me to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to do my best to hit five different subjects in the morning because I feel like these are crucial things to be preached on, and they're not preached much anywhere, and particularly not in Canada. There's a preacher from Texas, his name was Kenneth Hagin, and I used to not say his name because some people don't like him, but then I just made up my mind, if you don't like him, I don't like you. So Kenneth Hagin, back when the wall was up that separated East Germany and West Germany, there was a meeting of ministers, and they were planning how they could do something about that wall and get it to come down and get preachers back there. And Kenneth Hagin, when he wasn't preaching, didn't speak much. In fact, I know people that were assigned to be with him all week when he was at their church, and he never said one word to him. Not mean, it's just if he wasn't preaching, he didn't talk. So he said, if you can find a way to get my book, The Believer's Authority, over the wall into East Germany, the wall will come down in less than 10 years. And they did. They started getting that book to all the pastors, and they read it and preached on it and operated by what he taught there, and the wall came down. Things are done the least and with the most effort in the realm of the flesh. So if you want governmental change in Canada, or you don't like the way you see things going, the worst way to deal with it is to get a bunch of signs and march around, because eventually you're going to get tired. I remember when I would preach in Fort Worth, Texas, I'd stay at this one hotel, the Omni, in downtown Fort Worth, and there were people protesting every day about something. They were mad. I came back a month later, they were still there protesting. Then when I came the third month, they weren't there. I asked the valet guys, I said, what happened to those protesters? They said they got tired. So you get tired, and then you go home, and then if you make too much noise, then they just send people to shoot you or freeze your bank account, depending on what country you live in. So that's easily dealt with. The greatest change is brought about in the Spirit. Paul didn't go around, and I'm not, hear what I'm saying. I'm going to preach on faith, but I'm not against Christians being involved in politics. If you live in a country with a representative government like you do in Canada, Christians should be involved in politics. But that's not the source of national change. The source of national change comes from operating in faith in the realm of the Spirit. The Bible tells a story in Acts chapter 19 that when the apostle Paul came to Ephesus, now think of this, most places Paul went, there were no believers. When Paul came to Ephesus, the Bible says he met several believers, Acts 19, 1-6. When he laid hands on them, they all received the Holy Spirit, and the Bible says there were about 12 men in all. That's 12 more than were at most places. So he's going to places completely raw, that are in paganism, sacrificing to idols, and then by the end of that chapter, everybody had burned their idols. They're actually having an emergency meeting in Ephesus about what to do because they're all losing money from nobody buying idols anymore. And then the Bible says they took their books, their magic and incantation books that were worth about $2 million, and burned them in a public bonfire. How did Paul get that to happen? Did he get witchcraft outlawed? Did he form a political party that gained enough power in parliament that they were able to establish the Christian church? No. The way he did it, the Bible says, he preached every day. In the Amplified Bible, it says from 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. Every day, 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. for 2 years. Everybody say 2 years. And then that's when it hit a boiling point, where in verse 11 it says, and God gave Paul the power to do unusual or special miracles, that even cloths or garments that were taken from his body were given to the sick. And those that were sick were healed of their diseases. And anyone with evil spirits, the evil spirits came out. So, and then that's when it starts shaking the city. So I'm going to deal with this tonight if the Lord has me go in that direction. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 14, talking about Lucifer, oh, son of the morning, you exalted yourself, but now you've been thrown low. And it says on judgment day, when people look at Satan, they'll scoff in horror and say, is this the one that did weaken the nations? Satan is not just looking to weaken people and families. When you let the devil into a nation, he destabilizes that nation. So if our battle is not against people or political powers, because I'm going to tell you something. If you think the answer to a country, I can tell you this from America, is to get enough conservatives in, you're going to be continually disappointed. Because, and I don't need to get into a socio-political discussion, but just because somebody says they're conservative or have learned that if they say certain things, they can get conservatives to vote for them, they don't have on the inside of them. They're not battling against a rival political party. You're fighting against demon powers that want to see Canada destroyed. But thank God the answer is not out there. Thank God there's enough firepower in here to turn the whole thing around. And I believe God's going to use this week to do that in Jesus' name. If you believe that with me, can you say amen? Amen. Somebody sent me something. If you follow me on Instagram, which I don't recommend, I posted this because I thought I had forgot about this, but someone sent it to me. This is a tweet that I posted back when it was a tweet, November 18th, 2021, which was the height of the lockdown. I wrote to my Canadian, think of this. This was when the you-know-what was permanent. The COVID vaccine was a permanent requirement to get into Canada. They were never going to drop it, and all of the things were passed through that they weren't going to end. I wrote to my Canadian friends, when did this church start? Not 2021. What month? December. So this is November 18th before there was a church here. To my Canadian friends, yesterday the Spirit of God spoke to me out of the blue about holding a revival in Vancouver. I've never been to Vancouver. I checked on Twitter. I had a layover in the Vancouver airport one time in 2018 on my way to Alaska. But outside of the airport, I've never been. To my Canadian friends, yesterday the Spirit of God spoke to me out of the blue about holding a revival in Vancouver. And I'm not getting vaccinated, so what does that tell you? And then I put, hashtag over soon. See, when you walk in the Spirit, God never told Paul specifics about the ordeal he was in, but he said, I know this ship is not going to crash because the Lord spoke to me that I must stand trial in Rome before Caesar, and I'm not there yet. So when you get into the Spirit and flow in faith, you begin to see things down the road. Lord never mentioned it. He didn't say, now the vaccine mandates are going to be dropped. He just said, you're going to hold a meeting in Vancouver. Well, I'm not getting vaccinated. I'm not against vaccines, but it is difficult to preach using only one side of your face. So I avoided it. That's the only thing. I don't have like a medical opinion. I like both sides. How you like that? I got more. We're going to have a good week together. And so I knew when the Lord spoke to me about holding a meeting in Vancouver that certain things were going to happen. The border was going to open up and we were going to go in. The devil does not dictate the course of our life. The devil does not dictate the course of our life. God has a plan for your life and God has a plan for the church. When you get in the flow of the Spirit, the Bible says, I will show you things that are to come. God reveals his secrets. He starts showing you where you're going to go. This week is going to be a week like that for you, where you're not going to walk in darkness. You're going to walk in the light of God's word and in the leading of God's Spirit. If you believe that with me, go ahead and clap your hands one more time. Can I get this on the floor? I would do it myself, but I work out with the green foam 6-pound weight, so I don't know that I could do that. Thank you so much. So Hebrews chapter 11. I want to take this first day and deal with the Bible topic. I called it, if you're watching online, you already have my title. I want to talk about mountain-moving faith. Mark 11, 22, Jesus looked intently at the disciples and said, have faith in God. For I assure you, you can say to this mountain, you can say. Who can say? I mean, no, it's in God's hands. No. God said, for you to get faith, and then you speak to the mountain and tell it to move. And sometimes it'll work, and other times, no. And your command will be obeyed. All that's required is that you really believe and do not doubt in your heart. Verse 24, listen to me, exclamation point. You can pray for anything, and if you believe that you have received it, you will have the things that you've asked. That's what Jesus taught about faith. So I'm calling it mountain-moving faith, because faith is not taught in the Bible like it's taught in North America. and the United States is as guilty of it as Canada is, that people have begun to teach faith as a coping mechanism. We don't know why things work out, don't work out, but we trust Him. How many know we're to trust Christ in the midst of the storm? So, and He's in our boat. Yeah, He's in our boat. And if you use His power, it'll calm the storm and get you through to the other side. Faith was not taught in the Bible as a coping mechanism. How many of you were here? Not here. No one was here last night. How many of you were at the other church last night for the opening service? You know, one of the reasons I play those testimonies is to illustrate what I'm talking about. Why did that guy get healed when he came for MS? Well, there's a lot of reasons, but one of the key reasons is I prayed in faith. Now, if I prayed like I was trained to in Bible college, I want to say, you know, he came up and said, my cousin told me that if you prayed for me, God will heal me. I said, well, I don't know about that. Your cousin might got a little excited. We don't know how God moves or when He moves, but I'll pray with you. And I would have prayed a prayer like this if I prayed like I was trained in classic Pentecostal church. Father, we ask You today to be with Brother Greg. Keep Your hand upon him. If I went to some churches, I would have prayed that God would give him grace to deal with that problem and live with grace. May people see You through him as he goes through this. But I decided early on I was going to operate my best like Jesus operated. You read, you know, isn't that the point of Christianity? They tell you to be like Christ. That's what they started telling me when I was 4 and 5 and 6 years old. You're to be like Jesus. Well, if you read about Jesus, Jesus wasn't going around putting His hands on the shoulders of the sick and telling them, I'm sorry to hear what's happened. One day you'll be in heaven and everything will be okay. He prayed for the sick and they got healed. And then He said specifically, the same work, everybody say the same work, that you see Me do, you shall do, and greater, for I go to the Father on your behalf. Yes, ask anything you want in My name, not I might give it you, I will give it to you, that your joy would be full. So we're commanded to operate like Christ. When someone says, I don't believe in miracles, and I don't believe Christians are ministers are to pray for the sick like that. And you say, yes, do you believe we're supposed to be like Jesus? Oh, yes. Well, telling someone they're to be like Jesus, I'm talking in the church, you were to be like Jesus, but no miracles and no healing. That's like telling somebody they're to be like Tiger Woods, but don't let me catch you with a golf club. It's like the thing the guy's known for, you're not to do. Jesus had a healing, a teaching, preaching, healing ministry. In fact, when John the Baptist's disciples came in John chapter 4 and said, are you the Messiah or should we look for another? That's a yes or no question. Jesus didn't say, yes, go tell them I'm the Messiah. He said, go back and tell your master the things that you've seen today. Brother Devin, this is the best sound I've had since you've been with me, so I appreciate it. Thanks for everything. I know evangelists are supposed to yell at sound men, but they're nice guys, so I try to be nice to them. And this is great sound. Go and tell your master the things that you've seen today. The blind see, the deaf hear, the crippled walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the poor are having the gospel preached to them. Jesus showed that He was the Messiah. The proof was His healing and deliverance ministry. The supernatural aspect of Christianity. If religion could change a nation, America would already be changed. Canada would already be changed. Even if people want to call Canada a liberal nation, you still have to drive by about 14 churches to get to the church that you're going to, even in Surrey and Vancouver. True or false? So if church buildings and people going to church could change a nation, then both nations would already be shaken. But that's not what does it. In fact, the Apostle Paul said, in the last days, Timothy, people, 2 Timothy 3:5, people will have a form of godliness, but they'll reject the power that would make them godly. Have nothing to do with people like that. They'll have a form of godliness, but they'll deny the power. Point number one about Bible faith. Jesus taught faith not as a coping mechanism, but a mountain-moving force. Now, we're not trying to get the Canadian Rockies transplanted to Tennessee. We're not looking to move physical mountains. But mountains represent things that are insurmountable, things that are permanently in place that can't be moved. Jesus said, by your faith, you can speak to that mountain and command it to move, and your command will be obeyed. Now, when Greg came up to the altar with his cane and said, my cousin said, if you pray for me, God will heal me. I was completely checked out of that service. I had finished preaching. A couple families stopped me and I talked to them. I was already in my mind at lunch with my family. And now he wants a miracle. But what do you do? The Bible says, pray the prayer of faith. That's all you're supposed to do. If you'll do that, not just pray, pray the prayer of faith. The Bible says the prayer of faith saves the sick. A great preacher named Dr. T.L. Osborne added to that, as opposed to the prayer of unbelief, which helps no one. So many people pray, but it's the prayer of, oh God, we don't know your will. And that's nothing. That's just like, oh God, with a bunch of religious talk. But the prayer of faith, where you pray, you speak to the mountain and command it to move. I didn't feel like praying for him. I didn't feel like I was anointed to do that. But the Bible doesn't say you have to feel anointed or feel like praying. Just pray the prayer of faith. So I said, all right. He didn't say, could you pray that God helps me this week as I deal with my MS? If you did, I'd have prayed according to his faith. He wanted his leg to work again. So I said, all right, let's pray. In the name of Jesus, I curse that MS. Everybody say, speak to the mountain. I hear people say, don't talk to God about your mountain. Talk to your mountain about your God. But that's not what the Bible says. If you start talking to mountains, you're going to end up in a psychiatric facility because you're not supposed to witness to mountains about your God. But I don't say talk to the mountain about your God. It says you speak to the mountain. If you read in the book of Acts, they never did pray for the sick. The closest thing you get to it is Peter sent everybody out of the room where Tabitha had died. They had her laying in bed. She was dead. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then the Bible says he knelt down and prayed, then turning to the body. So he prayed probably just to get the unbelief out of the room and stir his own spirit up. We don't know. But she didn't come up out of the bed when he prayed. Then after praying, he turned to the body and said, Tabitha, arise. And she sat up. Everybody say, Tabitha, arise. So you don't speak to God. You know, Pastor Oscar, I'm going to use him as an example. If he's asking for prayer, and I put my hand on him, and I say, oh, God, I ask you from heaven, then what's the point of my hand being on him? To wrinkle his shirt? If God's doing it from heaven, there's no need for me to touch him unless you're some weirdo that likes touching people's shoulders, which I'm not. The reason you lay hands on the sick is because it's not. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians, the third chapter, the 20th verse. This is a scripture that gets two-thirds quoted a lot, but we're going to quote all three-thirds. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. You can tell the Lord's on this meeting. This is going to be a phenomenal week, and I appreciate you coming out on a Monday. How many can tell God has something brewing for Canada? Amen. Who has Ephesians 3:20? In the second row with the nice head on. Let me hear it nice and loud. Ephesians 3:20.
Now to him who by in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts,
that is a great scripture, Ephesians 3:20. Thank you very much. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ask or think. That's what normally just gets quoted out of that. How we know God's able to do exceedingly more. But you leave a part out. According to his power that worketh within us. We don't fast and pray for fun. We fast and pray to press into the anointing because what God is able to do, God requires a human vessel to operate in the earth. See, they don't like that. They don't like it in America, and they like it less in Canada. If God ever starts using anybody, how many know God doesn't need Pastor Oscar? How many know God doesn't need our brother? God doesn't need Evangelist Jonathan. If he wants to touch you, he can touch you all by himself. What scripture is that? You are his hands. Your mouth is to be yielded to be his mouth. Why do you think God speaks to so many people? Go and deliver this message. Because the heavens belong to the Lord. This is what the Bible says. But the earth he has given unto men. I've read, I don't know if you still do, but I know in Vancouver they were having a major heroin problem like they do in a lot of the cities in the United States. Nobody is heroin of the devil. Of course it is. Has anybody bought their heroin directly from a demon? No. Nobody says I need heroin and something materializes with a bag. The devil has to get somebody in cooperation with him to accomplish his agenda. So there's people that are as given to moving heroin, producing it and moving it and getting it into people's veins as I am committed to spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. They've yielded their life to make demonic things come to pass, and I've yielded my life to get what God wants done to come to pass. Isaiah chapter 6, the Lord searched and said, who will go for me? And who can I send as my messenger to the people? And Isaiah said, here I am, Lord, send me. And he took the coal of fire from the altar and touched his lips. See, when you make yourself available, then God shares his power with you. God, you become a partaker of the divine nature of God to accomplish God's will on the earth. That's what God's going to do this week in Western Canada. The people have flown in from other parts of Canada. You're going to get touched by the coal of fire. You're going to figure out where God has you to go. You're going to do what God calls you to do. You're going to be a giant frustration to the powers of hell. In Jesus' name. If you believe it, can you say aloud, amen?
Amen.
You know, I'm not teaching on this, so I got to be careful, or I will end up teaching on it. But my grandfather pastored for 62 years. He's in heaven now. He had a very simple philosophy. He said, I just get from the Spirit what I'm supposed to be doing every day. See, that breaks Christianity. Where am I going to go? How? No, just get your assignment for that day. Like today. There's no chance that, I mean, maybe one or two people snuck in or somebody's going to flare up and yell at me or something. But mostly, 90-some percent, if not 100% of the people that are here from a divine leading. I felt, you know what? I wasn't even going to come to the morning services, but I felt in my spirit I'm to be there, and you're here. And then my friend that came, where did I see you last? In Pittsburgh, two Sundays ago? Yeah. Yeah, Drea. She was at the church in Pittsburgh. She said, man, I'd really like to come to the meeting. I said, I'll make it happen. You can come. So she's here. Where do you live? Toronto? Toronto. So she came from Toronto. That's a leading of the spirit. See? And then you start doing all these assignments that God gives you every morning that you think are disconnected. Look at, hallelujah, man, I feel good in here. You know, even look at that as an illustration. Me minding my own business. I was sitting around praying for Vancouver. The Canucks have messed the Penguins up so many times. I actually, in my flesh felt, you people can deal with eternity yourself. You're on your own. But you know, just sitting in 2021, where no American that's unvaccinated has any chance of ever being able to come to Canada again. I wasn't able to see my sister and brother-in-law for 2.5 years or whatever. And it looked like that stuff was permanent. Same prime minister now there was then. They were never going to relax that stuff. And then out of the blue, minding my own business, the Holy Spirit speaks and says, you're going to have a revival meeting in Vancouver very soon. Well, that's soon. 2.5 years later. And so I knew from that was going to go down. See, as many as are led by the Spirit, they're the sons and daughters of God. Now, I'm trying to teach on faith, but you can't disconnect faith from being led by the Spirit. Because actually, when you have a leading from the Spirit, there's faith attached to it because you know, I know I must stand trial in Rome. The Lord's angel told me I'm going to stand trial before Caesar. So I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know all that's going to happen, but I can tell you one thing for sure. This ship is not going to, everybody's not dying on this ship because I'm not dying. Then as he said it, Acts 27, he said, and the Lord in his kindness has granted travel and safety to you as well since you're with me. And this made the people happy. The mark of Bible prophecy, the Bible says prophecy brings edification, comfort, and encouragement. Any word from the Lord that someone gives you that leaves you in turmoil and upset, Lord showed me you're going to drown this summer. That's not the Lord. Even if that was what was going to happen, the Lord would appear and say, learn to swim, saith the Lord. Oh, God's not looking to kill you. He's looking to help you. And so the mark of a New Testament prophet is that their words bring comfort. Agabus predicted by the Spirit in the book of Acts that a great famine was coming, and it caused the church to get ahead of it and get prepared. God is not making plans for your destruction. God's making plans for your advancement. And the more you, hallelujah, and the more you yield, see, you, if you're watching online, you wouldn't even think this is Canada. You think I'm in like Alabama or something. Because what the devil meant for bad has actually just weeded out the tares from the wheat. And there's still a remnant of Christians that are the most on fire for God that they've ever been. This is not the devil's time. This is God's time in the great nation of Canada. This nation will be shaken one more time by the power of Almighty God. If you believe it, go ahead and clap your hands in anticipation. Shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. Well, say it so the devil can hear you. Say, you already hit me with your best shot. And it already failed. Now is my time. I will be used by God in this last hour of time. Thank you, Lord Jesus. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons and daughters of God. If you follow our ministry, we had a $5.3 million building given to us, which I know that's not much in Vancouver. That would get you like a studio apartment. But in the rest of the world, it'll get you like a nice church building. This, Vancouver's the only place you go preach. Someone says, I can't make it on Tuesday night. I have to go to my sixth job. So a man gave us that building, $5.3 million. At first he told us that we were going to pay $10,000 a month, which would have been a miracle. $10,000 a month for 3 years. And then after 3 months, he walked in our three checks for $10,000 uncashed and then gave us the deed to the property. Where did that come from? I was 31 years old and I was on my way to the airport in Pittsburgh, and there was an older lady that my grandma knew who wasn't doing well physically. And she kept asking me, will you go visit her? But I never had time. But as I was driving to the airport, running late, it popped up in my spirit. Go visit that lady your grandma told you about. I didn't want to do that. 31, go see somebody that's dying that I don't even know. But I felt to do it. So I typed it on the GPS, texted my grandma. She called back, because no older people ever return a text. Every time you text them, they call, which is why they don't get many texts, because you don't want to be on the phone for 30 minutes. So she called back and gave me the address, and I typed it into my GPS. So as we're driving to the airport, I veer off, and Adonis goes, where are you going? You know, we don't have, where are you driving? And I told her the story. So I said, I won't be long, but I want to do this so next time I see my grandma, I don't have to tell her for the fifth time I didn't go see your friend. So I went to the house. I stayed there. I felt in my spirit to do it, led by the Spirit. And I visited with her, and I said some nice things to her and just did my best to be like how Jesus would be if he came in a room. But I felt her time was up and she was going. So I didn't feel to go and pray for her. She was on her way out, and I just told her I loved her and thanked her and everything. And I thought, well, whatever. See, you think all these little things God gives you are disconnected. It's like Pastor Oscar talking last night. Obviously, it wasn't the devil that led him to a youth retreat. He felt to go to a youth retreat in his spirit, whether he knew it or not. Say this with me. Say, deep calls out to deep. Eventually, I'll finish one of the stories I'm telling. We'll get like six going and see how many we finish. Say again, deep calls out to deep. When my grandfather pastored early in his ministry, there was a boy that would eat all the erasers off the pencils, and then he started eating the tires off of his bicycle. So his parents thought he was demon-possessed, and they brought him to my grandfather for prayer. But when my grandfather went to meet with him, he wasn't demon-possessed. You know what they found out? He had a sulfur deficiency. And even though a child doesn't know that there's sulfur in erasers or tires, his body knew that what he needed, that he lacked, was in those things. Deep cries out to deep. And so you might not even know the specifics of what you need. But something in you, this is the eraser off the pencil for your spirit right now. Your spirit needs something in it to go to the next level of what God's called you to do. And you found yourself here. You might have not even known how to explain it to anybody. Where are you going this morning? I don't really know. Jericho Center, some guy's here from America, dressed like he's going to cut trees down. I don't know. Because it wasn't your head that made the decision, and it wasn't your flesh that made the decision, but deep calls unto deep. Since I brought him up, Kenneth Hagin said, the only thing that separates ministers are their ability to be led by the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit, they're the sons and daughters of God. I married Adalys. I was led by the Spirit. I knew that was my wife, and it's been an easy marriage because it's like God tailor-picked tailor-made and pick somebody out for me, because he did. People make all their own decisions, then ask the Lord to bless it. Or worse, they make bad decisions and ask for a miracle. And God will give you a miracle and bail you out. But that's not how to live. The way to live is to yield yourself to the Holy Ghost. For and every believer, according to the Bible, has access to that. As many as are led by the Spirit, they're the sons and daughters of God. So how do you do it? Turn to 1 Corinthians 14, now that my message is ruined. 1 Corinthians 14. First Corinthians 13 is a chapter on what? 1 Corinthians 12 is a chapter on what? Gifts of the Spirit. So the gifts of the Spirit is taught in 12. Then when you get to 13, he talks about a more excellent way, love. So our friends in different movements of the church that don't like the Holy Ghost say, these guys like Jonathan talk about the Holy Spirit, but the Bible says love is the highest. Yes. But then it doesn't stop at 13. 14 says in verse 1, let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire or covet earnestly. I'm willing to be used if he wants to. Nothing with God works like that. Let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire or covet. Tell me, my friend, what do you have, an Amplified Classic or Amplified? Amplified Classic? That's what it sounded like. Go. Let me hear that in the Amplified Classic, because it'll expound the Greek more. 1 Corinthians 14, 1. Oh, there it is. I got you. Eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim and your great quest. And earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual endowments or gifts. That's a Bible command. The same way the Bible commands you not to commit adultery, it commands you to earnestly seek after the endowments of the Holy Ghost. That's not some Pentecostal fringe thing that we got into. That's a direct command from the Apostle Paul to the New Testament church. Why do you people make such a big deal about the gifts of the Spirit? Because Paul made a big deal about it, and Paul wasn't writing his own thing. Every scripture is God-breathed. So one thing you should make up your mind to do is you can follow me in this. This is something worth following my example. I made up my mind. Anything that's in that Bible, I'm not going to treat it like a buffet in Las Vegas. I'll take some of that and that, and I don't really like that. Everything that God has made available, I'm going to go after all of it, because what you're going to find is, whether you think you need it or not, God, who created man, knows what man needs. So yeah, when you're 11, you don't think you need the baptism. Well, I need to pray in tongues. I got three meals that show up on the table magically every day. I have no bills. But you find out if you'll develop ahead of time. Instead of waiting till you need it, if you develop it ahead of time, then you'll always stay ahead of the attack of the devil. Most Christians only know how to get out from under an attack once they're being attacked. But when you flow with the Holy Ghost, it puts you in the position of attack. Instead of you trying to get free, it's the devil saying, what are we going to do with that lady? She's messing up all of our plans in Western Canada. That's going to be your story in Jesus' mighty name. Let me see the scripture again. Earnestly desire, cultivate the spiritual endowments, gifts. And let me mention this. You know, I was going to teach on the Holy Spirit one morning anyway, and since the Lord wanted it first off the bat, I'll just go with it. Keep the scripture up, if you would. The spiritual endowments. Earnestly desire and cultivate spiritual endowments. So you don't just get them, you cultivate them. You work at it. Especially that you may prophesy, interpret the divine will and purpose in inspired preaching and teaching. Say that phrase with me. Say inspired preaching and teaching. Now, God, there are ministers here, I know in my spirit, obviously, I know Pastor Oscar is a pastor, but I know there's other pastors and evangelists here. And secondly, there's going to be many people called into the ministry this week. Anybody that goes to church can tell the difference, whether you know it or not, between regular teaching and preaching and inspired teaching and preaching. There's some people from growing up in church that when they took the mic, from the time they said, well, hallelujah, everybody, you could tell that man didn't know about God. That man had just come out of a room with God and had God on the inside of him. That is what's returning to Canada. Not just people that talk and talk and talk, but their words carry the weight of heaven and set the captives free. That impartation is coming into your spirit now. You're going to finish your ministry strong in the name of Jesus Christ. If you believe it, shout aloud, amen. Amen. Interpret the divine will and purpose in inspired teaching and preaching. So the Bible says that prophetic gift can even operate in your preaching and teaching. You know, without you saying, the Lord's giving me a word right now. You can just work it in to your preaching and start saying things by the Spirit. Do you know we've had, it's one of the reasons I arrived just in time to preach, because sometimes that thing will be so accurate in my preaching that somebody's friend that was brought will say, how come you told that preacher everything about my life that I told you not to tell anybody? And they'll say, no, you saw he came in 39, went straight to the front. I've never talked to him before. If you talk to him right now, he'll tell you. He doesn't know anything. We've never spoken. They'll say, well, then how did he know all that? He said this in his sermon, he said this in his sermon, and he said this in his sermon. Because inspired teaching and preaching, the Holy Ghost actually knows who's in each crowd. And I'm not doing a minister's conference right now, but that's why I don't have multiple services. See, you can't minister like that, having your same message with the same joke after point two, looking over the tops of the heads of the people. It's not an address. God has a bullseye for each crowd. He has a word for each group of people. You can have a word for a person. You can have a word for a family. You can have a word, according to the Bible, for a city. You can have a word for a region. And you can have a word for a nation, that when that word's released, that nation has the devil trembled and shaken out of it. Now, I'm contending with you together. I'm believing that this week, I'm not saying it. I told you last night, this is not a great evangelist from America coming to save Canada. But I do believe, since God's had that in the works since 2021, I know, number one, if God said, I want you to go to Vancouver, then God's not angry with the people of Vancouver. God loves the people of Vancouver. I want to bless them. He didn't say go up there and condemn them. Preach the gospel. Preach that I love them. Preach that my power is great to save. Preach that Jesus will lift the people of Vancouver out of every pit and set their feet on a rock. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I went and visited that old lady before she was about to pass. Went home and told my grandma the good news, and she was so thankful. And that lady passed shortly after, went to heaven. And then when that guy gave us that building, you talk about a little, that wasn't, there's no offering, no church, just stopping at somebody's house to go talk to him for a little bit. And that man that gave us that building said, do you remember when you went and visited so-and-so? That's my mother-in-law. And it got back to me that you came and prayed with her. And I made up my mind in 2011, one day I'm going to do something to help that kid. That one day came 10 years later. See, that's why you don't get discouraged. Be not weary in well-doing. Because you're planting seeds if you're, hallelujah. If you're following the leading of the Spirit, think of this. If you're following the leading of the Spirit, then you're planting seeds every day that you're going to reap a harvest of in the future. You're not planting bad seeds right now. You're not drinking somewhere and hitting somebody. You're not cheating on with somebody else's wife. You're not sowing those kind of seeds. You're actually sowing seeds by faithfulness to the house of God. And those seeds, I didn't get a reward later that year. I didn't get a reward 10 years later. I never remembered that I did that till it came back. Look at Pastor, go up to Canada, go preach a youth retreat for one church. But a young man's there that gets baptized in the Holy Ghost and then goes and pursues the call of God on his life. When you follow the leading of the Spirit, you are planting seeds every day that bring a harvest for your future. I'm going to tell you right now, you better get ready for the greatest harvest that you've ever had. Because you've been obeying God. You didn't do what everybody else did the last 3 years. You took a stand for God. You pressed into God. And God has a miracle with your name on it. And that flow of miracles will not cease. So every day, just get your assignment from God. I'm not here today because it's my job. I mean, this is my assignment. Lord started giving, obviously I forgot, but November 18th, 2021, the Lord knew I would be here. He obviously knew it from the dawn of time, but told me, you're going to go up there and you're going to preach to those people. The devil's not going to write the final chapter of Canada. I have a plan for the nations of the world. Can you say amen? Amen. Aren't you glad that God loves you in Western Canada? You hear some people preach, you think God, I'm telling you, the Lord's sitting in heaven and he's angry. No, you're angry. That's called projection. Yeah, you're angry. God's not angry. The Bible says he sits in heaven and laughs. The Bible says that Jesus satisfied the anger of God against sin on the cross. All of God's anger, think of this, all of God's anger was poured out on Christ on the cross. There's no more wrath left to give at this point. Until people reject Christ, now if you took him, he was your goat that the priest laid the hands on and sent out to die. But if you reject him, there's no second one coming. He is the only remission and satisfying of the anger of God. That's why people have to turn to him now while there's time. Okay, and how many enjoyed seeing that altar full of people last night? That's just night one. People are going to get saved left and right this week in Jesus' mighty name. I tell you again, this is going to be the worst week the devil's ever had in Central Canada, Western Canada. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Eagerly pursue to seek and acquire love and make it your aim. And earnestly desire and cultivate spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Interpret the divine will and purpose and inspire teaching, preaching and teaching. Yes, you should love and make it your highest goal. Everybody say this with me. Say, but also. Brother Jonathan, I know you're big on gifts of the Spirit. We're big on love. That's like saying, I know you're big on eating. I'm big on breathing. Well, you better be big on both of them or you're going to go see Jesus shortly. What do you think is more important, the fruit of the Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit? You don't pick. Where does the Bible say you have to pick one? I know you're big on salvation. I'm more into healing. Well, you better start getting big on salvation or you're going to be very healthy in hell. Can you say amen? People say dumb stuff. I know you're more of a salvation preacher. I'm a prophetic preacher. Well, you better be both. You don't pick one. You can have the whole thing. This Bible is a feast of blessing that's been provided for you. Stop choosing. Well, I don't really get into faith. Well, the Bible says without faith, it's not difficult, impossible to please God. So you better get into faith a little bit or you're going to live a life that's not pleasing to God. Don't pick. I'm not really into the gifts of the Spirit. The Bible commands you to be into it. Not a little bit. My Uncle Ted, my dad's oldest brother, he has a very strong word of knowledge gift and a healing gift that the Lord gave him. My cousin Teddy, his oldest son, came to see him during Thanksgiving break or Christmas break. And his mother greeted him at the door, and he said, where's Dad? She said, he's upstairs. So he went upstairs, and at 10 at night, my Uncle Ted, at close to 70 years old, was laying on the floor with a laptop open, watching another preacher named Freddie Clark, who operates in the Word of Knowledge. When he calls people out, like you'll hear me say, you in the black shirt, or you in the blue sport coat, he'll call almost everybody out by first name most nights. And then tell him he's 82 years old, and then tell him things by the Spirit that are absolutely accurate. They found two masses on your left lung, one on your right lung. And the Lord's taking those out right now. So he usually preaches in smaller churches, small Pentecostal churches. So my Uncle Ted's watching him on Facebook Live in some tiny Pentecostal church in the backwoods. And my cousin Teddy said, why are you watching Brother Freddie? And my Uncle Ted very calmly said, because to operate in a gift, you have to sit under a gift. So even at 70 years old, he's still obeying that command. To seek out and pursue people that have the thing that you want in the Spirit. And then get what they have. Say a word with me. Impartation. So if the key to Christianity is being led by the Spirit, according to the Bible, Brother Hagin had that nice quote, the difference between ministers, and I think it'd be accurate to say the difference between Christians is their ability to be led by the Spirit. So what's verse 2? How do you be led by the Spirit? Verse 2. For one who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but speaks to God. And no one understands or catches its meaning, because in the Holy Spirit he utters secret truths and hidden things. Man, that's a powerful scripture. For one who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men, but to God. I want to pause there. One who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men, but speaks to God. Well, but Jonathan, it says in Acts chapter 2, that when they prayed in tongues after they were baptized in the Holy Ghost, the crowd heard them praising God in their own languages. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, imaginary man that I'm having a debate with. Because this is what the enemy has used to get people turned against tongues. These people in church, they just speak in tongues. Bible says in Acts 2, they all spoke in tongues, and it was to preach the gospel. No, the Bible says right there that when you speak in tongues, it's a prayer language for you to speak to God, not to men. So there's a different, so what is it then? Is it saying two different things? No, the Bible never says two different things. I want you to write this down in your notes, if you're watching online, same, and I'm going to have you say it as well. Say, there's a difference between my prayer language and the gift of tongues. Yeah, tongues is a spiritual gift. It's one of the nine gifts. That's for others' edification and exhortation. But then your prayer language, Acts 2, they all prayed in tongues. Acts 10, even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the message, and there could be no doubt about it, for they were all at the same time. They didn't get in a circle and squeeze the next person's hand and go around the circle and pray in tongues. When that person was done, squeeze the next person's hand. The Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the message, and they all began to speak in tongues. You know, yesterday, Sunday morning, my nephew's here. He could vouch for it. One of the girls, actually, we could pull it up on YouTube if we had time. One of the girls that came forward to get saved. After she prayed the sinner's prayer, I felt to minister to her. And I said, give me your hands. And when I held her hands and prayed, she was a visitor. She went out under the power and let out this guttural groan from the, So you don't know what people are going through or have gone through. Abused or whatever. And you could tell that was all leaving her from the inside. Then when I walked back, about 7 minutes later after praying for everybody, that same girl that had been lying on the ground, she was laughing with tears and her face was bright. And then she began to speak in other tongues. Now, are you going to see her laying there after getting delivered and go, hey, stop that. Unless somebody interprets, you be quiet. No, you'd have to be demonized or extremely stupid to do something like that, because I never told her to speak in tongues, and she's a visitor, and I didn't preach on speaking in tongues. Well, I think that's the devil. Oh, yeah? You think it's the devil that took some? That's a very strange devil. You know, for these people that think tongues are of the devil, you live in Vancouver. Some of you weren't always saved. How many people did you see speaking in tongues at lounges and clubs? Tell me, how many times? How many times do you see people fall under the power and speak in new tongues? How many times do you see people get super drunk at a bar and just break out into other tongues with their hands lifted? Never saw one time. That's not of the devil. It's holy. It's of God. Can you say amen? Amen. What God did to that girl that yesterday morning, I'm still not over it. That was of God. That was of God. She went from crying to speaking in a new tongue. The Bible says the rudder, though it's the tiniest member of a ship, can ruin the whole ship. And though the tongue is the tiniest member of the body, it can destroy the whole body. It is set on fire by hell itself. Who can tame it? No man can tame the tongue. That's why the first thing God gave when he gave the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the power to take your tongue that was set on fire by hell itself and turn it into a mighty weapon of heaven in Jesus' mighty name. Isn't it interesting that Pastor Oscar, without any provocation last night, brought up a story of how our first encounter was him getting baptized in the Holy Spirit? I think that stuff's of the devil. You okay? Well, you'd have a point if he said, you know, I was living for the Lord and doing fine. Then I went to a youth retreat and Jonathan came and I started speaking in tongues, and then it all went downhill from there. Next thing I know, I was out looking for meth and living under a bridge and demonized and wouldn't wear clothes and was getting arrested. No. His life didn't go down after the baptism. Gee, interesting. If that's of the devil, that devil's going to get a rebuke in heaven, in hell, when it reports back to his master. What devil leads a young man to Bible college? What number wife is that? First wife. You're not bouncing around woman to woman. And the family stable, stable wife, who's anointed, church now. Look at the fruit. that now there's fruit that's springing out. Can you say amen? The baptism in the Holy Ghost and power empowers you to walk in the will of God and to bear fruit that remains for the kingdom of God. I see you bearing much fruit this year in the name of Jesus Christ. If you receive that, take 20 seconds, clap those anointed hands and give God a mighty shout. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will turn you into another type of preacher. You'll be different. People, Kenneth Hagin was a Baptist, you know, who was against speaking in tongues, but he had a problem. And the problem was when he was 15, he was going to die, born with a heart deformity. The heart, he wasn't paralyzed like in an accident or spinal cord severed, but his heart was so weak he couldn't move. His mother had to bathe him at 15 years old, carried him to the bathtub. He was going to die, weighed like 110 pounds. And he got healed. And so the Baptist didn't want him talking about healing. So he said on Sunday nights, he would go over with the Pentecostals because he liked healing. Healing saved his life. And he said, these people would talk about healing. And he said, they spoke in tongues. These are his words. And I was willing to put up with a little foolishness to be around people that believed in divine healing. But then one time a guy came and preached on the back. See, this is why he had such a great ministry, because he was against healing and against the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he knew it from the Bible. He was taught by those people. Then when he got baptized in the Holy Ghost and healed, he knew from Scripture. Not, well, I know people say that, but all I know is I spoke it. No, he knew from Scripture that these things were right and was able to teach the whole world without ever barely leaving the United States. I think he left one time to go to South Africa, and that was it. Affected the whole world from his rural Texas and Oklahoma. Can you say amen? And so when he received that, he said he was pastoring a Baptist church. He had got baptized in the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. And he said, I knew they'd kick me out if they found out. So he said, I preached the next Sunday, never mentioned it. Preached normal, tried to preach extra normal. And he said, when I finished, there was a guy waiting for me at the back, one of the deacons. And he said, what happened to you? He said, nothing. He said, no, you're different. You got baptized in the Holy Spirit, didn't you? He said, he thought he was going to fire me. He said, yeah, I did. And the guy said, me too. So I could spot it. See, because there's a difference. There's, you know, the word anointing in the Bible, in English, you don't use that word except in church. But in the Spanish Bible, it's unción. And when I saw that in the Spanish Bible, it helped me to better tell people, because that's what the Holy Spirit, the anointing, when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, there's an unction on your speaking. There's an unction on your moving. The Bible says, and no doubt you know how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. Everybody say Holy Ghost and power. Acts 10:38. Who went about doing good. Went about. When you get anointed, you move. People that aren't baptized in the Holy Ghost can usually stand behind the pulpit the whole time. But you notice when people that are Spirit-filled, they go on, I get my 10,000 steps in before my second point of my sermon. And I'm not trying. I'll start talking about the things of God with somebody on the phone. And the next thing I know, on the phone, I've been laying down on my bed talking to somebody late at night, and I'm up and gesturing like this. Because we're talking about spiritual things, and it starts to stir up a power on the inside of you. The Bible says, if that same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He will quicken your mortal body. See, even right now, as you're sitting under the anointing, there's a quickening coming on your eyes. There's a quickening coming on your joints. There's a quickening coming on your knees and feet and your mind, because the Holy Ghost is a quickening spirit. He's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And the Bible says the will of God is not for him. It was never the will of God to dwell in temples made by human hands. Know ye not, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. The power that filled that temple in the Old Testament, God wants that power on the inside of every Canadian in Jesus' mighty name. Went about. When you get anointed, you start going about. I didn't even know there was a Vancouver when I was growing up in Pennsylvania. But I'm here now, because you go, 2 weeks ago I was in Liberia. When you get anointed, you start moving. You have trouble stopping moving. We were flying back from Liberia, and I said to Adonis, I said, when we land, let's have church on Sunday morning, and then why don't we take off Sunday afternoon and go to Arizona for 2 days? She said, are you crazy? No, I'm anointed. I don't like sitting still. You think you're going to start one church? Next thing you know, you start more churches because you get anointed. You start going about. That's why you're here today. The Lord had you go about. We're not having this meeting in your living room. You went about. That's why our Bible college doesn't have online classes. Can I take online? No, when you get anointed, you got no problem moving. Can you say amen? God's people are tent people. And you're going to start the same way you followed the leading of the Spirit today. You're going to begin, today's going to mark a different course for your life. Well, you're not going through the same routine every day. Get up, rush to work, come home, eat some dinner, watch TV, fall asleep, and then go to bed. Wake up, rush off to work, come home, eat some dinner, sit, watch some TV, fall asleep, go to bed, repeat. You're not going to have a life like that where 60 years blows by and all you did was tread water and do a routine. You're going to get God's instruction, like my grandfather said. Get God's instruction every morning. You think they're all disconnected instructions? But you're going to find out there was a reason God had you go to youth camp. There was a reason God had you go to these meetings. There's a reason God had you visit that older lady, because it's all part of His plan that you'll never see until you're led by the Spirit. But today, as you're led by the Spirit, you're going to see that plan kick into high gear. You're going to walk a different path. We used to sing a song growing up in church. I'm walking up the King's Highway. There's a joy in knowing. I know where I'm going. I'm walking up the King's Highway. There's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. There's a highway to heaven. I'm walking up the King's Highway. There's a joy in knowing. I know where I'm going. I knew I was going to Vancouver. I'm not getting taken surprise by anything. My Uncle Ted called me in 2019, October. So the Lord spoke to me that in 2020, there's going to be a great new thing that the devil does to try to shut nations down. Then told me what to do. Why do you think we never shut down one day? Why do you think? I knew it was coming, that the devil was going to do an attack, but we already had a plan for the attack before it came, because the Holy Ghost is never caught off guard by the devil. The devil doesn't know what's going to happen 5 minutes from now, but the Holy Ghost knows the end from the beginning. When you pray in tongues, He'll show you those things. Come on, take 20 more seconds and clap your hands and rejoice. Man, this is going to be a great week. Hallelujah. Say it right out loud. The Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. For one who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men, but he does speak to God. According to the Scriptures, every time you pray in tongues, you're having a direct conversation with God. For no one understands or catches His meaning. But in the Holy Spirit, everybody say gift of tongues. Everybody say prayer language. So if you read the Bible, it's very easy to see. You'll see it easy now that I've told you it, if you didn't know it already. There's two different sets of instructions that deal with tongues, because there's two different operations. One's the gift to edify the body, and one is a prayer language that's between you and God and not for anybody else. My grandfather that I keep bringing up, he pastored in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And on Saturday nights, he would take his four sons to the YMCA in Harrisburg to go swim in the pool and get their energy out. While he was sitting there, another guy that was staying at the hotel came and sat by my grandfather. He was on business from Greece. And so they talked, and my grandfather said, why don't you come to church, my church tomorrow? Because they hit it off. He enjoyed him. He said, you should come. I'm preaching. He said, all right, I'll come hear you. I don't have anything to do. So he came, first time ever in church. And then a lady stood up and gave a message in tongues. It was a gift of tongues. Yeah. And when she gave the message in tongues, that man, as soon as the message in tongues concluded, got up from his seat and came to the altar and knelt down and began to cry out to God. And then after the service, my grandfather walked up to him and said, or no, he walked up to my grandfather. He said, can I meet that lady that stood up and spoke to me? He said, she wasn't speaking to you. He said, oh no, she was. I want to meet her. Because she's from my village. My grandfather said, listen, This lady's from central Pennsylvania. She's never been out of the state of Pennsylvania. I promise you she's never been to your village in Greece. He said, I'm telling you, she's from my village because she stood up, and not just in Greek, but in my dialect. So there's different dialects, and most of you know that. Alabama English is different than Vancouver English. I preached in Alabama. I thought I was going to have an interpreter to interpret into Alabama, even though we're both saying English. He said, she spoke in my exact dialect from my little village in Greece and told me that Jesus loves you, told me my name, and that today God, he had brought me here to give my life to him. That's why I came to the altar. He said, so my grandfather explained to him about the moving of the Spirit, which made him say, wow. See, because then you know there's a God. And they'll say, of a truth, God is with you. And so that's the gift. But then when it comes to speaking in tongues, verse 2. No one catches its meaning because in the Holy Spirit, he utters secret truths and hidden things not obvious to the understanding. When you take time and pray in the Holy Ghost every day, I don't remember what I was doing November 18th, but I guarantee you I had probably just come out of praying in tongues, and you'll have weird ideas come to you out of nowhere. You're just praying in tongues to spend time in fellowship with God, and then someone will come like, you can go to Vancouver soon and preach. I never asked to, never thought to, but then I was just telling you what's going to happen, because when you're praying in the Spirit, you're uttering secret truths. No one understands it. So you have, when everybody prays in tongues, somebody always pops on YouTube in the comments in all caps, where's the interpretation? Take it easy, Lucifer. Whoever knew the devil had his own YouTube account? Well, interpretation, this is foolishness. Okay, no one asked you to watch. But then when you do that and pray in tongues, it's not for the body, it's for you. Your prayer language, as you're praying in the Holy Ghost, God will show you, I will show you things to come. Verse 3, not obvious to the understanding. But on the other hand, the one who prophesies, who interprets the divine will and purpose and inspired preaching and teaching, speaks to men for their upbuilding and constructive spiritual progress and encouragement and consolation. 4, he who speaks in a strange or unknown tongue edifies and improves the church. No. Builds himself. Edifies is where you get edifice or building from in English. He who speaks in an unknown tongue builds and improves himself. You don't have to wait for prayer. You can pray in tongues. Smith Wigglesworth, who raised 21 people from the dead, the great British evangelist, he said, if you pray in tongues every day until you feel the anointing come on your body, you'll never backslide. Think of that. If you pray in tongues every day till you feel the anointing come upon your body, you'll never backslide. And if you pray in tongues every day till a note of joy comes up, a song of joy comes up in your spirit and you sing it, you'll always have enough strength for that day's task. See, I have other ministers ask me, how are you able to keep the schedule you keep? I'm not getting more tired doing this morning. I'm actually getting refreshed. The water that's coming to you has to pipe, go through this pipe first, and the pipe gets to drink first. So when you do dry dissertation, oratory, then yeah, you're worn out. But when you flow in the Holy Ghost, the preacher get, that's why the guys that preach like this, Oral Roberts and R.W. Shambach, they were still preaching at 80. Sister Clarita's father is what now, 85? 85 years old. He preached at our church a couple Christmases ago. No walker, no cane. Is purchasing new property and getting a home at 85. He's not in Velcro shoes and stained sweatpants and showing him to his seat. Because when you flow in the Holy Ghost, he's a quickening power. I said he's a quickening power. He gives you quickening power. The hand of the Lord came upon Elijah. The hand of the Lord in the Old Testament is a type of the Holy Spirit. And Elijah, as an old man, outran the king's chariot. The king didn't have slow horses. The king had the fastest, swiftest horses in the land. But when the hand of the Lord came upon that old man, he girded up his cloak around his loins and outran the king's chariot. I tell everybody online, I tell everybody here today, get ready to run. In Jesus' mighty name. You're going to run. These are the things of the Spirit. In the last days, Timothy, they'll have a form of godliness, but they'll reject the power. So if the plan of the devil is to have a form of godliness and reject the power, if you want to know the will of God, start by just doing the opposite of what the devil wants you to do. If he wants you to have a little form and no power, then have all the power. Go after the power. Go after the gifts. I'm telling you, this year, 2024, in Canada and the United States, there is a restoration of the hunger and passion to be used in the things of God coming back to the people. And God is going to fill churches with His power. Some churches didn't pass the test during the lockdowns. You won't hear about them anymore. But of the ones that did, there will be a power that flows into the people, and the people will be used mightily of God, and the plan of the enemy shall be uprooted and destroyed, saith the Lord. If you receive it, rejoice and be glad one more time on this beautiful Monday. In beautiful Western Canada. But he who prophesies interprets the divine will and purpose and teaching with inspiration, edifies and improves the church, and promotes growth. Everybody say promotes growth. We don't really allow that stuff on Sunday morning because it doesn't help grow the church. Oh, it's good that you knew more than Paul. And it's good that you know more than the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit don't shrink a church. The gifts of the Spirit grow a church. Everybody say the gifts of the Spirit. I didn't say goofy idiots. I said the gifts of the Spirit. So that's why people get the gifts of the Spirit can really harm a church. No, a lady dressed up in spandex leotards waving a prophetic flag. That's not one of the nine gifts. So that's what people think. They think you either have decency and in order, or you have a freak show. Everybody just do what they want. That's not it. No, I'm sorry. I know it's going to step on toes, but many toes will be broken before I leave on Friday night, I can tell you that. Because that's not, shofars aren't a manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. Flags, gold dust, feathers, you added that. That's not in the Bible. You know, it's not a manifestation of the Spirit when the pastor hits a high point to pull out a shofar. Sound like the Minnesota Vikings just got a first down. That's not in the, you're not going to read that in the book of Acts. Tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Discerning of spirits, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Gifts of healings, working of miracles, special faith. These are the nine manifestations of the Spirit. So it's not a freak show. Everybody just do what they want. You can go back on Instagram. I threw a lady out. No, I didn't throw her out initially. I said comments like this, and this lady got mad and stood up and said, "You're not of God." She had a golf cart full of flags. I didn't see her. She was in the back. She got mad and started yelling at me. And then when the usher said, "You can't yell at him," it was in the middle of a salvation altar call. She took her flags and left. And then the pastor told me she came back two Sundays ago and they had to throw her out again. She's nuts. See? And disguises the fact that she's nuts with some type of prophetic ministry. If you can't find your ministry in the Bible, you don't have a ministry. God has me write poetry and I read it in different... No, that's not... There's nothing like that in the Bible. And I read the poetry at different churches, and it releases a portal. You need a nice meal and a nap, and then to wake up and rethink a few things. And I'm not looking to be mean, but I'm telling you that's what's hindered. That's what caused churches to move away from the thing, because they equate that if you're going to have a Holy Ghost meeting, it's going to be a free-for-all. That's why I threw that lady out. I was given a salvation altar call. I have a ministry. You're interrupting the salvation altar call. You're not of God. And God doesn't have two leaders in a service. Whoever has the mic's running the service. So you're out of line. Throughout, let all things be done decently in order. See, I run spiritual meetings, but it's not a free-for-all. There is an order. This thing has been as orderly as can be. Yeah, there's shouting and clapping, people standing up. I stood on a chair one time, but it's not. People all going and praying for each other and running. No. The book of Acts, there's an order, but it's an order of the Holy Spirit. For some reason, people think you have to pick one of the two. You either get in a ditch on this side of the road, no tongues, no healing, no move of the Spirit. Or you get in a ditch on this side, just pass the mic around and have a freak show. But God's going to bring it right to the double yellow lines of the middle of the road where we have the order of the Holy Ghost and the power of the Spirit. And it's going to break everything that the devil has set up in Canada in Jesus' mighty name. Interpreting the divine will and purpose and teaching with inspiration. edifies, and improves the church. The gifts of the Spirit don't shrink a church, they grow a church. That guy that got healed of MS was sitting Tuesday night at our midweek service with half a row of people. Do you know we had 260 people when we started the church 2 years ago? We had 413 people in that building for our midweek service 2 years later. Well, six of them are there because a guy that they know that had MS were healed. Then there's another section of people, they got healed, they come back with more people. The manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit bring profit. The Spirit, the manifestations of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, are given to profit withal. They don't bring decrease, they bring increase. Everybody here that's in the ministry or that's going to be called into the ministry, don't let any dried up loser deceive you. Well, if you can do that if you want, but you'll always be preaching in little churches. No! If you'll flow in the Spirit, people that have kids addicted to heroin and have multiple sclerosis and muscular dystrophy and stage 4 cancer, they're not looking for a nice speech. They need somebody that carries the fire of God to set the captive free. And I'm looking at those people right now. That fire is coming alive. Fire! Paul's telling you when that fire comes upon you, what to do with it. Channel it into praying in tongues. Channel it into prophecy. Channel it into these 9 areas. Shofar and flag people are good people, but they got that fire channeled in something that doesn't bring any profit. We're going to climb up on the highest mountain in Surrey and take authority over the spirits that are in Vancouver. You're just going for a hike. You have to be higher than the principalities. If you have to be higher than demon spirits to have authority over them, it's wonderful how many miracles Jesus was able to do at sea level. Even at the Dead Sea, below sea level. See, they're channeling it in the wrong direction. Say this, the Word and the Spirit agree. Yeah, line everything up with the Bible. Don't do anything unscriptural, but also don't be all Word and no Spirit. All Word and no Spirit, you dry up. All Spirit, no Word, you blow up. There's a pastor not far from here, down in the U.S. He told me, this is an interesting thought. He said there was a group of women at one of the churches I would minister at, and they were all having miscarriages, everybody in the church. Like no one could have carry a baby to term. So I said when I came, I said, tell me about what you do as a church. Something's wrong. He said, well, they're in the women's group doesn't like abortion. Well, that's good. But then what did they do about it? They all go and march. They all go and march around the abortion center and pray and take authority over the Spirit. That's not in the Bible. You don't do a Jericho march around. That's not how Paul dealt with things. He didn't do a march around the goddess Artemis. What did he do? Not everyone at once. Preach and teach the Word, heal the sick, and cast out devils from people. Devils were always cast out of people in the Bible. We tear down the strongholds that are... You're just getting exercise. Because the way you tear down those strongholds is by teaching the Word, preaching the Word, and demonstrating the power of God. So this pastor, that if I said his name, you'd know him. He's a famous guy. He said, tell your women's group to stop doing that. You deal with the devil along the lines that the Bible says to deal with him. Can you say amen? And they did. See, they're getting messed up because they're out of the Bible. Stay in the Bible. You should be able to find. I'm not, you know, where do you get this from in the Bible? Standing and yelling at people like they're preaching. Strong. Paul went and preached unto them. Philip went to Samaria and preached unto them. And crowds listened intently to what he had to say because of the miracles that he did. That's in the Bible. You can follow other great men that did the same thing. I'm doing what D.L. Moody did. I'm doing what Billy Sunday did. You could run down a line. So I'm following examples that are profitable. You're going to follow profitable examples. Because what happens is people get on fire and then the devil misdirects it into something that doesn't matter. But today you're going to get on fire and you're going to get an assignment from the Holy Ghost that brings profit and fruit and causes growth in the nation of Canada. One more time if you receive that. Clap your hands unto the Lord. That edifies and improves the church and promotes growth in Christian wisdom. There was a young lady that identified as a boy in our church. And then she got born again. And she quit doing the gender transition. Well, she's not just in the church now. It was just her and her mother coming. Now the whole row is her family. They wanted to see, what's this change? And now she's reading the Bible, doing an Instagram live every day. What happened? The person that was the shame in our family is now the star in our family. The Holy Ghost did that. There's some of you that were the shame of your family, but when it's all said and done, you're going to be the star of your family in the kingdom of God. That's what God's doing today in Jesus' name. The gifts of the Spirit improve the church. Verse 5. Now I wish that you would all speak in tongues. I would that you all spake in other tongues. How many know that's not a gift for everyone? Paul differs with you. And I'm going to go ahead and go with Paul. I wish that you would all speak in tongues. But more so, I would that you prophesy to be inspired to preach and interpret. So the preaching is above the gift. The gifts follow the word, not the other way around. He who prophesies is inspired to preach and teach is greater and more useful and more important than he who speaks in the rest of it. Unknown tongues, unless he should interpret. Isn't it great to be in 2024? If that guy would have sneezed like that 3 years ago, the whole church. What a time to be alive. Unless he should interpret what he says, so that the church may be edified and receive some good. Everybody say, build up. So that's another thing. When you get on fire, use the fire to build up. Canada is going to be under judgment. That's not building anybody up. You know, it's interesting. I didn't have that many followers on Twitter 3 years ago when I tweeted that. And it has more reaction than most of my tweets right now, because when people heard that word, the Lord just spoke to me, I'm going to do a meeting in Vancouver, and I'm not getting vaccinated, so what does that tell you? Hashtag over soon. Got a ton of reaction, because what are you doing? I'm building people, I don't think I can make it much longer. And the Lord's saying, you're not going to have to make it much longer. This thing's coming to an end. And I tell you, in the name of Jesus, there is an end coming to every attack of the enemy that's been against your life, in Jesus' name. Let me pray for this lady in the blue top and nice glasses. Step out into the aisle. Did I pray for you yesterday? I'll pray for you again. God's not a socialist, so you can have more than one prayer. Go ahead and come right up. Lift both hands to the Lord. I put in some gum so that if you fall over backwards, I know it's the Holy Ghost and not my breath. Put your hands across your lungs and heart. And just what I preached on today is what the Lord's going to do. He's strengthening you in your lungs and your heart. And as that gets your blood right, that your blood pressure and all that, that's going to give strength to the rest of your body, down your knees and legs and feet. There's about 9 things we could pray for, but they're all connected to your heart and lungs needing to be strengthened. In Jesus' name, amen. Close your eyes. Down into your bones and joints. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Mind if I pray for you in the blue button-up blouse? Step right under there. Praise God. Right there is fine. Put one hand on your belly. Lift your other hand to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. There's an old preacher that's in heaven now. He made an interesting statement. He said, if God took the Holy Spirit off the earth, 90% of churches wouldn't notice. That's sad. In ourselves, we can do nothing. But the Holy Spirit through us is who does the work. Underneath your hand flows the mighty power of the Holy Spirit into your lower organs. And then God gives you a couple other miracles on top of it, from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Be healed. That's it. Go right through you. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Somebody say, today's my day. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I pray for this man in the light blue button-up shirt with the glasses. Step out into the aisle. Are you in the ministry or just dressed like you're in the ministry? What do you do? with both hands closed, both eyes. I don't say this lightly. The hand of the Lord is coming upon you in the service. I believe the Lord has been dealing with you for several months, that you're going to step up and do a higher thing. God's going to entrust you with more. For I've seen your heart and care for people, says the Lord. And now you're going to have more than a compassion for people. You're going to have the power to do something about what you have the compassion for. Here it is. In Jesus' name. That's it. Go right through you. More. 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 In Jesus' name. Never be the same after today. In Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you for sharing the Jonathan Shuttlesworth podcast. If you're interested in supporting our mission to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to our generation, please visit revivaltoday.com and click on Give Now to become one of our monthly partners. Thank you in advance. We hope to see you soon.